Welcome to Lasting Truth, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills, in Banning, California, where Pastor Ryan Hussein teaches the entire Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, giving our listeners the opportunity of receiving the full counsel of God. Here's Pastor Ryan.
Prayer is just everything. And here he is about to face the cross, and he's letting them know the importance of prayer in the statement that he said to them three times, lest you enter into temptation. In other words, he's showing them, he's reminding them that it is prayer that's going to keep you from temptation. It is prayer that is going to enable us to walk in the Spirit. In fact, the very act of praying in the Spirit is walking in the Spirit. It's a choice that you and I make to say no to our flesh, and we're Christians, we're going to walk in the Spirit. But that can only happen through prayer. And if one is not praying, the fruits of the flesh will show, the works of the flesh. But if we're praying, the fruits of the Spirit will show. And it changes, because our lives are complicated and they change. We get easier to be aggravated as we get older. I was way more patient, it seemed. Before the kids came, I think, man, I was as sweet as a bug. But the body is achy, and, you know, the mind is. And we're being pressured in warfare, and ministries grow and change. Life changes, jobs change, schedules change. And we're asked for more. He who is given more requires more, right? We pray more and we can deal with the greater pressures. That's why we're patient with each other. But prayer is part of it. If you're suffering with the temptation of the flesh, pray. Pray. And don't stop until you change. Don't stop until you change. The other gospels were told, he said to them, you cannot stay awake to pray 1 hour. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. 1 hour. If we've been walking with the Lord more than 20 years, I think our devotions should be longer than what they were when we were 1 year in the Lord. God forbid we used to spend more time in the Word in the old early days, and now it's just like, oh, knowing that he's coming for us at any moment to meet us in the air, we should that much more be praying. The Bible says to be serious and watchful in your prayers. Father, he says, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. If there's any way, Father, that I don't, if there's any other way, in other words, Jesus is saying, to redeem mankind other than me being separated from the Father on the cross when the sins are upon me, if there's any other way, if they could just do enough good works, climb a mountain like a holy man, get on their knees before the church and crawl up the aisle, if there's a pilgrimage that they can do, if there's good works, if they give bread to the poor, if they visit poor inmates in jail, maybe they can be saved. No, there's no way. Our good works are as filthy rags. There is none righteous, no, not one, but God alone. It had to be Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, to come and do this. And he said, nevertheless, Father, thy will be done. The beautiful thing about that is Hebrews 5 tells us that he learned obedience through suffering. What? He learned obedience through suffering. I'm going to do what the Father has sent me here to do, and that's that. It's his will. It ends there. Some of us, I know I do, have a problem with submitting to the Lord that way. Lord, help me to learn from Jesus and his suffering. He is highly exalted because he was willing to obey. He was highly exalted because he learned obedience through suffering. All of us in here, in order for us to be better Christians, to be more like Jesus, are going to go through sufferings. We are told that we shall reign with Christ if we suffer with him. And you know, the sufferings seem to get bigger as we go along this world road. You think, okay, got over that hump. Woo! You know, maybe there can be a break, Lord. And there is. And he strengthens us so that we can strengthen our brethren. And all the little dramas that used to move us so mightily, small potatoes now. Been there, done that. And the angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with the kiss?" One of the most dramatic scenes in the history of our planet. One of the most dramatic, how can you be with the Lord for 3 years? See the goodness and the love of Christ and betray him. It's a picture of the heart of man. How desperately wicked the heart of man is. To see and experience the goodness of the Lord only to turn around and betray him. Lord, help us all. Help us, Lord. Jesus said in John 15, 18, "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." The Apostle Paul would speak of the perils of his missionary journeys in one of the descriptions to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians 11, 26. He said, "In perils amongst false brethren." In perils amongst false brethren. Judas would fall into that category. False brethren is part of it. In these last days, men are lovers of themselves within the church. You're going to find people that, you know, kissy, kissy, lovey, lovey, dovey, dovey, old brother, old sister, but their heart is not with you or the Lord. It's incredible. It's incredibly painful, but it's a reality because it was a reality for our Lord. It was a reality. You know, the whole nation rejected him. He said, "Narrow is the path that leads to life and difficult." It's difficult. You know, but broad is the path that leads to destruction. I look at haters in the body of Christ, or within the church, I should say, as proof that we're on the right road with the Lord. "Woe to you when all men speak well of you." I like what Vernon McGee used to say. "I judge a Christian not by..." There's the voice, too. Yeah. "I judge not a Christian by how many friends he has, but how many enemies he has." Think about that. And there are Christians who still wonder, why don't people like me or like my pastor or the church or whatever? Sometimes it's warranted, but if the word is going out, praise the Lord. Keep it coming. Great is your reward in heaven. So, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When those around him saw what was going to happen, They said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? Now, mind you, the Lord gave them permission, or actually commanded them to have a sword. Take what you have, sell what you have, and buy a sword. And they said, well, we got two. And he says, well, that'll do. In today's language, it might be a Glock for the flock. Oh. We're in America. Don't forget where you're at. And so, I digress. Where was I? Should we strike? He said, and one of them, we know which one of them it was, the servant of the high priest, or struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, permit even this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. And having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. That's never good. How when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. But he denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter was not the only one of the disciples who said, I will stick by you to the end. I'm ready to die and go to prison with you, whatever. All of them had a sense of pride in their own abilities according to their flesh. Things would change after the resurrection and after the day of Pentecost for all of them. But at this point, they were that moments, really good moments. And you would think as you read the Gospels, man, these guys got it together. Look at what they're doing. They're preaching, they're healing. Demons are subject to them. There are signs of humility when the Lord, said, cast your net on the right side. They cast their net or whatever. And before Peter, and Peter saw the great catch of fish, he fell to his knees and said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. They had their moments of humility, but those were just moments. Peter's lesson is a lesson for all of us, that in our flesh nothing good dwells, that we are not to trust our own abilities in our faithfulness to Christ. Our faithfulness to Christ is dependent on Christ's faithfulness to us and the power of his Holy Spirit in our lives. God the Holy Spirit anoints those who obey him. The Bible tells us, to those who obey. If we're not obeying, we're going to get no power. No gasoline to be Christians. Empty tanks. But if we submit ourselves to the Lord by prayer, humbly ask for forgiveness, Align our heart with God's heart and then ask him for the power of the Holy Spirit. He will change our lives. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to everywhere else on the planet." The word for witness is martyr. You know who's not willing to be martyred in our story? Peter or any of the other disciples. But after the day of Pentecost, yeah, you can do me too, upside down. Everything changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him. And having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy. Who is the one who struck you?" And many other things they blaspheme against him. Going over here to where I was reading just the other in my devotion. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus says this in verse 30. "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come." I think it's good to read that because he's being disrespected so ugly. And yet Jesus is saying, no matter what they say to me, it can be forgiven. But if they sin against the Holy Spirit, if they continue to sin against God, the Holy Spirit's calling to repentance, if one keeps rejecting that conviction in their heart, eventually God will allow that heart to harden and there will be no forgiveness there. But what we read, what they say and do, it breaks my heart. I want to jump in there like Peter and just go to town. So my heart breaks. Nobody speaks to my Savior. I mean, I'm just as bad as Peter. Anyone concur? He'd have to say, "Ryan, stop. Get in the corner." I remember seeing The Passion. Man, I wanted it. Beat me up some people. I'm sorry, Lord. Anyways, and many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into the council, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God." Then they all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" So he said to them, "You rightly say that I am." And they said, "What further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth." And according to Leviticus, that is a capital punishment that anyone makes himself to be God. And is not God, but he is God. Then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And again, the Romans can care less about their religious matters. And that's why they come to Pilate, to the Romans, with this charge of, he said not to pay taxes, which isn't true, because, and also that he's a king, in order for the Romans to be upset that someone else is making themselves out to be a king when Caesar to them is king. And so Pilate asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "It is as you say." Think about that. It is as you say. Israel is on the news everywhere. It's good to be reminded that though their eyes are still blinded because it is the church age, the time of the Gentiles, you know and I know, in God's mind, I am the King of the Jews. That's his words. He confirms that. That is a correct title. Yes, he is. It's interesting when you think of that and pray for Israel. It is as you say. So Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowd, I find no fault in this man, which in all the Gospels you keep hearing the Pilate say that, confirm that. There's no fault in Jesus. We know that Pilate's wife had a nightmare, you know, concerning Jesus. She said to her husband, have nothing to do with that just man. The fact that he was innocent was continually spoken of by Pilate. You have the religious trial, now you have the civic trial. The nation is condemned. They're really the ones on trial. But so is the rest of the world. He made the world and the world did not know him. I find no fault in this man, but they were the more fierce, saying, he stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at the time. Now, when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. And there are many, that's all they want to look into Christianity for, just to see what Jesus can do for them. What miracle can he do? They look at Christianity and Jesus as some Santa Claus to be at our every beck and call. And they look into Christianity, but their heart isn't really to surrender to him, make him king. That's Herod. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. That very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been at enmity with each other. And that's just like the devil, to put devilish people together. Don't be surprised when your enemies find themselves together, huddled by a warm fire, slandering you. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, you have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him. And indeed, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. Innocent. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For it was necessary for him to release one to them at the feast. And they all cried out at once, saying, away with this man, and released us Barabbas, who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them, but they shouted, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Then he said to them the third time, why, what evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. But they were insistent and demanding with loud voices that he be crucified, and the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that he should be as they requested. We know that he had a basin of water brought out, and he washed his hands and said, I'm innocent of this man's blood, and of this innocent man's blood. And they said, may his blood be on us and on our children.
Thank you for joining us today at Lasting Truth Radio. If you're in the area, come out and join us for Sunday services at 8:30 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We are located at 3035 West Nicollet Street in Banning, California. You can also find us on YouTube or Instagram. If you would like to donate to our program, please do so on our website at ccsweethills.org and hit the online giving tab. We hope you will continue to tune in as we journey through the entire Word of God with the teaching of Pastor Ryan Hussein at Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills. We adore.